Good morning. My name is Faith, and I am a compulsive overeater and food addict. Diane, thank you for asking me to share my story today, and thank you for that really, really kind introduction. I just want to start out, you know, saying that this whole experience is a journey, and it's been a long, long journey for me, a lifelong journey for me, really. And today, I just want to share with you my experience, and then my strength, and then my hope. For me, I started my journey along food addiction alley when I was a young child and have now found my way to recovery road, so to speak. And I know that in program, it teaches that the reasons why we eat compulsively isn't what matters. What matters is that there is a solution. There is a proven workable method. And that is so, so true. But I think it's important that I share my experiences and some of my whys and things like that, because it helps us connect with one another and understand each other. And I know that when other people share leads, I really love to hear about their experiences, because I can relate so much to their stories. I guess where I think of my story beginning is probably when I was about 5 and I went to kindergarten. And prior to that, you know, life was good and happy for the most part. And I never knew there was anything different about me. But when I went to kindergarten, I had a lot of kids that started teasing me for my size. And at that point, I wasn't really overweight. I was just much taller than the other kids. And I'm still a woman who is much taller than a lot of people. Before I got a little older and started having, you know, some shrinking disc space, I hit about 6 feet. I'm probably about 5'10 and a half now. And the kids in kindergarten, you know, they would make fun of me and tell people not to be friends with me because I was fat. So at that point in time, I really think I started to identify and see myself as a fat person. And I remember one particular friend that just absolutely refused to go along with the narrative, which was, don't be her friend. She's fat. And she was my friend, and she's still my friend to this day. One of my best friends was in my wedding and all of that. That's kind of where I remember things starting with me, you know, and I think the loneliness and the isolation I felt from that, even at a young age, made me start turning to food for comfort, especially, you know, as my family is kind of a family that really enjoyed eating. And at every celebration, at every sad event, at everything we did, it was about the food. I know I was very, very focused on the food from young childhood. Even though looking back, I realized I really didn't have a weight problem then, I really did see myself as fat. I can remember reaching for my mom's diet pills at a pretty young age to see if they would help me or whatever. Some things I did as a compulsive overeater at a young age, I remember almost every single New Year's Eve eating so much that I would get sick. I would have to get sick before the new year even hit. I just would gorge myself on food because the opportunity was there. I didn't see myself as a compulsive eater or food addict then, of course. I just thought I liked to eat, you know, and my whole life up until about age 30, mid-30s, maybe, I didn't realize I was a food addict. I didn't realize that I was a compulsive overeater. I just thought I was someone who was bad because I was fat and I couldn't live like a normal person and couldn't control my eating and I ate too much and I just needed to find the next best diet. Through my teenage years, I maintained a relatively normal body size because I was very, very involved in athletics. And I think, you know, that kind of counteracted my overeating and gluttony, so to speak. But it was always there in my mind, always, always feeling like I was different. I was fatter. I wasn't pretty. You know, I couldn't wear the same clothes as other girls, you know, which I realize now is all very much a lie that was put into my mind. When I was around 20 years old, yet again, another diet program, as by the time I was in my early 20s, I had already joined and tried many, many diet programs. I did find a program that I had physical success on. I lost 120 pounds, but at that point in time, 120 pound weight loss brought me down to an extremely unhealthy low weight. And I don't know if I've shared this part of my story before with those of you that have heard my story, but I actually battled mental health problems and some anorexia in my early 20s. And I believe that they're all very much linked and all very much tied together. And I do appreciate OA's third tradition, recognizing that there is a place in OA for people who struggle with anorexia, bulimia, as well as compulsive overeating and food addiction, any kind of food behaviors that give us a desire to eat or not eat compulsively. Anyway, back in my 20s, at that point, I had started losing hair. My menstrual periods had stopped. I was having difficulty opening spring-loaded doors because my muscle mass had decreased so much. And in my mind, what was going on in my mind was, as long as I'm losing weight, I'm a good person. If I'm gaining weight, I'm a bad person. So of course, then, you know, I had to keep losing. I was very sick, and I ended up having to drop out of college and go home and get help from my family and my church and all that, and get some mental health assistance. And I did, but that didn't fix the problem that was in my heart. The root of the problem was never addressed. So I did get healthy again physically, but then it went, the pendulum swung the other way, and I had got married, I had children. And before I knew it, I was, you know, well over 300 pounds, 350 pounds or whatever. The diet yo-yos, the workout groups, spending money on all kinds of things where you, this one program, I remember you draw a picture of yourself, or you take a photo of yourself and you like scribble out the fat, like to make your body look how you want it to look, you know, you shape your hips and everything. And then it was just crazy. And it was expensive. I did things, the insanity that I faced, and I don't know if I've shared this before either, was things like auditioning for the TV show Survivor, sending videos of me doing something crazy to, you know, out to California to the producers because I wanted to be on that show. But the truth is, the only reason I wanted to be on that show is because I knew that I would lose weight. I would have to starve and lose weight. I auditioned twice for The Biggest Loser. One time I took a day off work. The audition was like on a Thursday morning, and I took that Thursday off work, and I had left work Wednesday night and went to the location. They were having auditions here locally. Went to the location. It was in February in the middle of the winter, and waited outside all night so I could be one of the first people in to get an audition. I didn't want to miss my opportunity to get an audition. It was cold. And the audition took place at a restaurant. And ironically enough, the restaurant opened up at 8 a.m. to serve their famous dessert to people waiting in line to audition for The Biggest Loser. And I just think, like, that is so insane. Of course, I never got on the show. You know, I used to sit and watch that show and binge on all of my favorite sugary things. And I guess I just felt like I needed to share that with you because that's how insane, you know, I was. And then about 6 years ago, I started preparing for weight loss surgery. And my doctor told me to eat about 800 calories a day, but the nurse couldn't find an eating plan that had 800 calories on it. So she gave me one that was 1200. And I did lose 160 pounds. And I counted calories meticulously. And I started running, and I was able to run a half marathon, and I was very proud of myself, but I lived in perpetual fear that I would once again gain all that weight back. And I did, I did. I gained all that weight back. I topped the scales at 375 pounds, maybe more, but I have the 375 pound number documented by my doctor. And that was early December. And then early December of 2018, before Christmas. So I always think, gosh, I have no idea what I weighed, because, you know, for a compulsive overeater after Christmas, you probably put on 5 or 10 pounds. I mean, at least that was what I always did. But yeah, I mean, I had gained all that weight back. And it was January 3rd of 2019 that I started my way along recovery road. I have been working in true recovery and have been abstinent for 3 years and 2 months and 24 days, if my calculations are correct. But there's a lot more to the story, you know, before I get to that point, because like I said earlier, I think when I was around 35, I realized that my problem, I'm 44 now, by the way, I realized that my problem was not just a physical problem that needed a diet. I had a spiritual problem. I had an addiction to food. And in the faith that I practice, you know, addiction is not something that my higher power wants for his people, nor is gluttony, but I couldn't get free of it. You know, I tried the calorie counting business and exercising and all of that. And I just lived in fear, and the weight came back because my hope was in what I was doing. My hope was in myself and in the calorie counting, in the exercising, And I had, I believe, a lot of pride around that. I didn't intend to, I didn't mean to, but I did. And I think that part of my journey is God showing me that I needed to find my hope in Him. And I appreciate this program because it has taught me and has caused me, and hopefully a lot of us, to acknowledge that it is weakness, the admission of our weakness, the understanding of our weakness, the acceptance of our weakness, that allows us to find a connection with our higher power and with one another. That's a very, very powerful thing. There was a lot of spiritual preparation that happened in my life before I ever even became aware of the 12 steps. I was 40 years old and I had only heard of the 12 steps, you know, in movies and things like that. I knew what it was. I knew it was for alcoholics and stuff like that, but I didn't know what a single one of the 12 steps were, which is amazing to me now, because now I believe, I wish everybody, you know, like from the age maybe of 15 on, would have experience with the 12 steps, because I think everybody, whether they have any specific addiction or not, can benefit from just learning to live life according to those steps. So much of the self-hatred that I had was because of the shame I had from things that had happened throughout my life, and being able to release that to my higher power and to another person and realize that I am not alone in the mistakes I've made was a huge, huge step for me. But anyway, so when I was about, I was maybe 40, so this was maybe 4 years ago. For one, I knew I needed help. And I started Googling faith-based programs for food addiction. And I found one. And through some research, not of my own, but some research that was presented to me and the conviction of my higher power, I realized that for me, sugar needed to stop in my life and flour needed to stop in my life. Because, and also high amounts of fat, I would say, needed to stop in my life, not because I needed to lose weight, because I was out of control. And those were the things that led me to complete overindulgence and losing control. But this faith-based 12-step program that I found, I mean, I thought I could see people living their life without eating any sugar at all, but I couldn't imagine how difficult that would be. And then to throw the flour on top of that, I mean, the lady that started this program, you know, she had been absent in that way for over 25 years. And I think my jaw hit the floor. Anyway, I only mentioned that other program to say that when I got a sponsor in that other program, she immediately directed me to join OA because she knew the importance of being face to face in meetings and the fellowship. And I'm very grateful to her for that, because I hadn't wanted to step outside of my faith-based program, but I'm so glad I did, because I also realized that OA is a spiritual program. I remember when I went to my first meeting, and it was, of course, at a church, and I had just looked up online when the meeting was and everything. And I showed up, and I don't think anybody knew I was coming. And I walked down the stairs, and there were some people in this room, and I looked in there and I thought, this OA, because those people did not look the way I thought they would look. I expected to see a room full of very, very large people. And I saw a room of very normal looking people and, you know, normal, healthy looking people. And they were all very welcoming. And I have met so many different people in OA with so many different life philosophies and religions. And I love that it's not about that. It's about our common bond, you know, that we share the problem of compulsive eating. So, you know, from there, I began to develop the strength that I needed to make my way, continue to make my way on the journey. And like I said earlier, I think I said this, it really is a marathon that we're running here, and not a sprint of any type. Even when the weight loss comes, the race isn't over for someone who has the disease of food addiction. My number one source of strength is my higher power. There's no doubt about it. For me, abstinence, as far as my food plan goes, is I do not eat any sugar or sweeteners. I check ingredients very carefully, even on things like canned green beans and canned corn, because often there are forms of sugar added to those, because I don't want to put anything in my body that could possibly physically make me start to crave those things that are deadly to me. I also do not eat any flour of any kind. I eat carbs because our bodies need carbs, you know, but I eat ones that are not flour-based and that are whole and healthy. I do weigh and measure everything that I eat because I cannot control my portions. And, you know, of course, fats are included in that. I also have some food allergies, some legitimate physiological food allergies. And that's really helped me in recovery, because if I eat certain things, I will go into anaphylaxis, and you know, that's not good. And I've realized one thing on the road to recovery, I realized is that even though flour and sugar may not cause me to go into anaphylaxis, it will eventually take my life if I continue along the path that I was on. And that path led me to 375 pounds with out of control high blood pressure, not even being controlled by medication, a fatty liver, cholesterol that was out of control. I had never been officially diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, but I am very certain that that was just right around the corner. So I have to avoid those things, you know, and I have to use the tools of recovery, and I'm grateful for the tools of recovery. But some people are like, well, how can you live that way? How can you do that? Well, the answer is my higher power gives me the strength to do it, because when I acknowledge that I couldn't, he did. The 12 steps helps me. The tools of recovery help me, and my fellows help me. You know, having a sponsor that I'm accountable to each and every day, having people that even sponsoring is very important. Step 12, you know, I mean, what would I say, you know, if it would be devastating, even more devastating to me if I chose to get back into the food and I wasn't able to help others anymore, you know, because that's such an important part. And then my hope primarily also is in my higher power to continue, because I have lost and gained weight multiple times. Like I shared, over 100 pounds, 3 times. This time I have lost 190 pounds. And it's the first time that I have gotten to a normal, healthy body weight and maintained for any more than just a few months. The other times it was always, I either got to a weight that was not healthy and then, you know, immediately I was always climbing or falling, or I turned around and started gaining right away. And I'm stable now, you know, I mean, of course, you know, you're going to have little variations from month to month, because that's life, but my weight is generally stable. And it has been, I think it took me probably two years or so, you know, maybe not quite 2 years to get the weight off, but I've been stable for probably a year and a half or so now. And I've never had that kind of stability. And that's just the physical recovery. The mental and emotional and spiritual recovery, I will definitely attest to, is ongoing. I was able to get the weight off because I was dying physically, you know, and I'm young. I have 2 boys who are now teenagers. I'm a teacher. I was fearful that I was going to have a stroke in my classroom in front of my 3rd graders or something like that. You know, I was a very sick person, but there are still elements of this illness that God is working on with me. My character defects, you know, and I mean, I pray about them. I prayed about them yesterday. One of mine is I tend to be nosy. And it's not that I want to share people's business. I'm just curious, but you know, that's not necessarily a good thing. I don't need to know all those things, but I am grateful, because I think there's an old song from the 1970s by a group called the Imperials that kind of sums up where my hope is. And it just says, and this is referring to my higher power, it says, he didn't bring us this far to leave us. He didn't teach us to swim to let us drown. He didn't build his home in us to move away. And he didn't lift us up to let us down. And those words are super encouraging to me, because I really do believe that he's brought me where I am, and he continues to be with me, and he's not going to leave me. And I did want to show you a picture of myself from, and I don't know how it'll come over on Zoom, but this was December of 2018, probably about 2 weeks before I entered recovery road, like I like to call it. And I was about 375 pounds here. I had mentioned weight loss surgery earlier in the meeting, and I just wanted to clarify, I never had that weight loss surgery. I had done everything to get ready for it. I was to scheduling. I had had the endoscopy, the upper GI. I had done the psychological evaluation, all the meetings, all the everything. And they always try to make you lose weight, you know, before you have that or whatever. And I had. And I felt very strongly from my higher power when I got to that point of scheduling that that was not his will for me. I definitely think that it is his will for some people who need that life-saving intervention, but there are also long-term side effects of that. And I was very concerned, and I felt like, you know, that's not what he wanted. So I canceled that. And that was when I had lost all that weight. And then I ended up gaining it back. So I just wanted to clarify that because that came to mind. I never had weight loss surgery, but I'll put this up and I don't know if you can see it good on Zoom, but this was me December of 2018. So a little over 4 years ago. I was with my student in a classroom, of course, sitting in my chair because, yeah, getting up very much was really hard. I think that's all I have to say today. And I'm really grateful to share my story. I could write a book about it, but I'll stop there. Thank you. I pass.